For the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened, and thus is obstructing our ability to deal effectively with the global political turmoil that this awakening is generating.
So back in October, a group of us shut down and occupied EDF's West Burton gas-fired power station for a week. We saved nearly 20,000 tonnes of carbon.
We need to stop complying and start defying.
This is Dark City Radio.
One of the most concerning things about this is that the police seem to have been talking directly with EDF, actually helping them to sue us.
This is Dark City Radio.
East Sussex County Council then came up with the scheme of a link road.
I am eager to hear what, you know, what you've done, how you've got there, you know, how these backhanded, well, I don't know whether there is a conspiracy or the left hand really doesn't know what the right hand is doing within our council offices, you know.
This is Dark City Radio.
They didn't have the proper licences in place to cut the hedgerows down or to take the stumps of the trees out. Public inquiry was, in my opinion, rigged. There was protesters in the trees.
If you lower yourself to the level of violence, then the strongest person wins.
And this whole state is controlled by a body of words created by the government, statutes and acts. We're policed by consent. And that means statutes and acts require our consent to be given the force of law.
There's so many corrupt angles going on from this, it's unbelievable, it really is. East Sussex County Council are just bullying through.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Resistance News, and I'm commonly called Bob Earthwise. Welcome to your new show, where you can netcast to all about your actions of resistance. And we are here every week on Dark City Radio. DAs, or direct actions, drive progress. And whether it be from Rosa Parks on an Alabama bus to the tank man in Tiananmen Square, these are the people that have affected real societal change.
We don't need someone to come along and tell us how to live in our community. We've got to make a peaceful, honest, honourable stand to the best of our ability to stop this going on.
And now, please welcome the Dark City Radio Resistance News Crew.
Hi everyone, I hope you've all had a good week. It's been quite an interesting week for news again. Obviously the funeral in the middle of the week, and I guess everyone's a bit thatchered out about that, so we won't talk about that anymore. Good riddance, I say. But there was an interesting bit of news that the Centre for Alternative Technology put out. On Sunday, last Sunday, the wind farms in the UK and the gas power stations, gas-fired power stations, each contributed 15% of our electricity on that day. So wind and gas produced the same amount. You've got to be a bit careful with this statistic, though. Of course, Sunday is a low energy day because there's not so much industry. And the gas-fired power stations run at demand, whereas the wind, you know, they take it or leave it. And on top of that, it was a very windy day as well. So obviously, you know, the wind turbines are going to produce more energy than they might do on a less windy day. However, not all the wind farms have been built yet. I mean, we're waiting for a wind farm to be built in Poole Bay called Navitus. And That's something like 200 wind turbines, and it's going to be one of the largest wind farms in Europe, I think. And of course, the more that go online like that, the more wind is going to exceed gas in energy production, of course. And the other statistic that's worth noting down is that the energy produced that's in this statistic is just from commercial wind farms. So it doesn't include solitary wind turbines or community group wind turbines that are micro producing. So this is a really, really encouraging bit of news, I felt, that we're well on the way to renewables achieving what they're supposed to do, and us finally being able to look at phasing out fossil fuels. I mean, I really do think this is a big step forward. Of course, you know, lots of people argue that, you know, it might be the fossil fuels might be contributing to climate change. I mean, whether they are or not is a secondary matter. I mean, the fact that we're using finite resources at an outstanding rate is the bit that's really wrong. We've got Chris here. How do you feel about all of that, Chris?
Yeah, hi, Bob. Yeah, I agree with you, really. It's sooner or later we're either going to end up in disaster or running out of the bloody stuff. So, I mean, whichever way you think about it, an alternative has to be found. And this is a massive step in the right direction. Massive, really.
And, of course, this is only one form of renewable energy as well. You know, it hasn't included anything that may have been produced by solar.
Yeah.
Or anything that may have been produced by tidal or wave power. So, you know, I mean, just from that statistic on its own, you know, you can see there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it is achievable with renewables.
There are a lot of people opposed to wind farms, though.
Well, at the end of the day, this kindly brings us on to the next subject. I mean, would you rather have a wind farm or would you rather have fracking?
Well, I think
underneath where you live,
I think this is going to be a choice that the public are given. I think they might chuck nuclear in there as well to get their end result.
Well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Renewables have got to be the most sensible.
Well, at the moment, EDL are promoting that their energy is green and it's got a very low carbon footprint. And if you read the small print, it all comes from nuclear energy.
Not all of it, no, because they're building gas-fired power stations in the UK. I mean, this is, we had EVA, you might remember, from No Dash to Gas,
yeah.
For gas, up their chimneys and shut them down for 7 days. So, you know, I mean, and whether, you know, they might say that it's clean energy, but, you know, there were tens and tens of thousands of tons of carbon were saved while No Dash for Gas shut the EDF plant down. So, I mean, burning a fossil fuel, I don't see how anyone can argue it's a clean energy. You know, right. And even nuclear, you know, I mean, it's how do you define clean? You know, causes no pollution whatsoever. I mean, well, fair enough, you know. Solar panels don't cause, no, you know, they're not no polluters whatsoever.
Well, when they're made.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're manufactured.
The production
not
of them
good.
Causes a big footprint.
But once they are, they've got a life of, what, 20 years? 30 years?
I guess so.
Maybe longer. Which is the same length of time that you'd expect a power station to run. 40 years for a nuclear power station, roughly, isn't it? And then they have to decommission them. I'd rather try and get rid of recyclable solar panels.
Yeah, they could be changed into something else, can't they?
Yeah, than the nuclear power station.
Yeah.
You know.
Bit of a no-brainer.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, what are these people in government, you know, why, what are they doing? You know, they're not doing anything in our favour at all.
Well, they're doing everything in profit's favour.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, plus fracking, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, why, when all the money that could be spent in the test drilling and the actual frack, and then setting up all the various different resources to deal with the water and deal with the gas to turn it into gas that can run into the grid, because when it comes out the ground, of course, it can't.
Well, you've got to get into the minds of these people who are running these ventures. I went on the Quadrilla promotional YouTube video, and these people are pumped up. They've been to their business seminars, they're pumped up, and there's great opportunities in the UK with fracking, and no mention about public safety. It's all great opportunities and big business deals, and they're all smiles and ties. It makes me sick.
Well, it's about money, isn't it? At the end of the day, you know, they want to pay big dividends to their shareholders so that their share price goes up, which makes the company more valuable. And it's, you know, at the expense of, A, the environment, and, three, anything that lives. You know, it's just anything. Plants, trees, animals, wildlife, domesticated animals.
Tend to make the connection, do they, between the profit they're making and the damage they're doing? They don't make the connection.
Well, no, because they're never held liable. Governments somehow manage to introduce legislation that holds them not responsible for polluting water, and they don't need to give the details of all their fracking fluids either. So no one really knows exactly what's in them. Which is insane, absolutely insane. And how are the plants that exist now going to deal with radioactive fracking fluid? Because when it comes out of the shell layer, it brings radioisotopes with it.
Yeah, so it's absolutely ruin the water companies.
So, yeah, I mean, whatever way you look at fracking, you know, whether it be when they first set up and the hundreds and hundreds of trucks of water that need to go there, or whether when it's all set up and there's the fracking pad and there's, you know, maybe half a dozen or more actual wells from one pad in close proximity, and, you know, they've no way of ensuring the integrity of the well once it's drilled, you know, the concrete jackets and the liners and what have you, and it allows methane to leak. And on average, there's about 4 or 5% of wells leak. Well, you know, it's not just the pad. There's 6 wells there at least, and the next pad will have another 6.
Wow.
So, you know, that, and in the States where they've done this, and, you know, they are having problems with leaking wells and backwash of all this fracking fluid, and, you know, it's affecting everything. Farmers.
I see people lighting their tap water.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, media sensationalist bit of it. But in the end, every aspect of it is ecocide.
Mm.
Every aspect. And when you think that with shale gas, it takes years and years and years for the gas to seep out of the shale rock, and all is there getting and is the gas that's already in the fractures that shale rock already has. And they're widening those gaps to make the gas more accessible. Well, if you then look at a graph of production, once that gas in those cracks has gone, it drops through the floor, the production quota.
Yeah.
And it's after a year or two that drop starts.
And then they frack it again?
Well, they can, yeah. You could frack it again or drill new ones next to it. You know, it's the fact they say it's going to be cheap energy is hogwash, to be honest. It really is, you know, because if it runs out in 5 years, or production runs at, you know, maybe 25% in 5 years or less, how's that going to make it cheaper? It's not. you know, it's not going to be any cheaper at all. And in fact, we'll if we don't make a positive move to renewables now, we will have to start importing huge amounts of gas again. You know, if they're building these power stations now with a 30-year, 40-year life, and frack, you know, unconventional gas runs or goes down to 25% of its possible yield in 5 years' time, where's the other 25, 35 years of life, where's the gas going to come from? They're not just going to go, oh, all right, we shut these now. You know, we're building a future that is dependent on fossil fuels.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it will take, you know, quite a number of years, but it shouldn't take 30 or 40 years to change over. You know, the technologies are there now.
Yeah, we've got them. There's people out there using them. Turn them about.
Yeah, it's just, you know, quite amazing, really. I was just reading an article about boreholes failing, and this is for coal seam gas, I think it was, which is similar to unconventional gas, except they're taking out coal seams instead of from shale rock. And everyone's saying the leaks of no surprise. Which is, how does that work, you know? they reckon that 60, this is the company that employs the frackers, Schlumberger, suggests that up to 60% of gas wells will be leaking within 30 years. Well, that's putting methane into the atmosphere if it's coal seam gas. And methane is a worse reagent for global warming than CO2. It's 20 times worse. So one tonne of methane is like 20 tonnes of CO2.
Just reading these figures on there, my jaw's just dropped. Norwegian North Sea, 18% of gas wells are leaking.
Yeah.
US EPA found 200,000 wells leaking.
I think that if there is, you know, if it's proven that climate change is anthropogenic, we've got to blame the companies that are getting it out of the ground. Clearly, you know, I mean, they've got to be polluting way worse than anyone else. Yeah, and they need shutting down. The whole thing needs to stop.
Yeah, it's knowing where to put our action, whether it's us that's to blame for using the oil they supply, or whether it's them to blame supplying us the oil. I'd be more of them to blame, because there are other methods there are other ways to live, and they've been restricted by these same companies, by the financiers of these same companies, so I would put the blame on them.
Well, the companies also lobby politicians so that they can get legislation in their favour.
Yeah.
All the time. You know, and it's, you know, let's go for a little jolly to here or to there, or a, you know, out to lunch, or, you know, come to the club or whatever. You know, it's just backhanders, isn't it, really, yeah, at the end of the day?
From George Carlin says, it's a club and you ain't invited.
Yeah, from a bunch of people that abuse the country anyway. You know, giving themselves the 32% pay rise this year, the politicians in Parliament. And not only that, their expenses have gone up by 25%. Well, how does that work for the rest of us? You know, if you're on working tax credit, do you just ring them up and say, hey, look, can I have a 32% rise in my working tax credit, please? Because it's more expensive now.
I got more expenses.
Everyone just gets 1%.
Maybe I should put some expenses in. Who? I don't know.
Maybe you just send them to Inland Revenue. Or send them to the Speaker of the House. Here's my expenses. Okay. Yeah, save your receipts, everyone. This might work. Anyway, back to the fracking. I don't know how many people remembered me describing how they did it. I did kind of go into the zone over it and nearly missed the end of the show. But it is a really upsetting thing. And I really can't get my head around how people that have access to the information, like politicians and all the rest of it, can honestly say that it'll be a good thing for this country. You know, because whenever they say it is, it's a lie. It's scientifically proven to be a lie. You know, there's so much data
wrong. You never hear that on their media streams. So the majority of the public...
Well, then, it's down to us then, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Get the information out there. As many warriors as possible. Just go out and talk to people.
Yeah, but it needs to be done in a way that's non-confrontational.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with a lot of actions, they're confrontational and people switch off. You know, if it can be done with humour and, you know, on a level, then people will absorb information or want to go and find it. So... Yeah, I was hoping to get some people on, you know, to talk about fracking, but no one's available to come on tonight. So we're just throwing it around between ourselves. I don't know whether anyone out there would like to come in. If you want to use Skype, it's Bob's Backyard. Otherwise, if you're in the UK... The landline is 0161 298 0298, or if you're not in the UK, overseas, it's 0044 161 298 0298. I mean, if maybe you live near somewhere that's being fracked right now, and you can give us a bit of first-hand information.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would. I mean, fortunately, in the UK, they haven't really started yet, and they've got pilot wells going in, but there's only a few of them, a handful. So
I believe they're holding off to 2014 while they do some geological tests. Well, one of the companies is Quadrilla.
Yeah. I mean, they have halted, but, there are dozens and dozens of licenses been issued by the government, all over the country. You know, it's three in our county on its own. And one of them, not very far outside the conurbation either. So that's going to, I mean, we get our water really locally. It's not in the grid. It's our own water company, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if they frack anywhere near that, we could end up not having good water. And that's a real possibility.
Yeah, it's a drowner.
Now, I'm not saying it's a certainty, but it's a possibility, and it's not worth
the
risk.
Doesn't bear thinking about.
It's not worth the risk, is it?
No.
I mean, nobody's applied for planning yet, as far as I know, and we have got people looking out for this. Where else can we go with fracking apart from don't do it, and we can't let them do it? It's not, a local thing. I mean, there is a huge movement against fracking in the States and in Australia, but they're just a lot more advanced than we are in this country. You know, it's kind of like all the wrinkles should have been sorted out in those two countries before coming here, and they haven't. You know, it's just... It's like they're not learning from the errors that have occurred already and improving the technology to make it safer. They're just carrying on with, I don't know, what would you call it? Not really Heath Robinson. He was quite clever. But I was going to say a bodger, but bodgers were actually artisans, craftsmen originally, and they used to live in the woods, and if you had anything wooden that was broken, you'd go to a bodger and they would remake it.
I think the word jalopy kind of fits.
Jalopy?
Yeah, the kind of jalopy affair.
I just think it's ill-conceived, not thought through, and it's just just about money. That's all. There isn't another. There's no way it's about making everyone's energy cheaper. It's never going to happen. No. You know, energy costs will not come down.
Not, you're having to set up a brand new industry to get it, and you're going to say it's going to come down. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Anyone who believes that is delusional. You're building a whole new industry around it. It's going to go up, if anything.
Of course, yeah. I mean, all these wells have got to be paid for. You know, who's going to pay for them? You know, and it must cost millions to do these wells, the amount of transportation and people involved in it and the waste that's involved in it and then all the plants.
I wonder how much fossil fuels it takes to build a bloody plant.
A lot. Hell of a lot.
And to service it and compare that with the actual productive output of the plant. That would be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when you compare how many trucks it takes to take a wind turbine farm and put it together,
yeah,
you know, it's a fraction of the amount of energy that's used to get all the water and fracking fluids and everything else. If any of you want to get involved with the anti-frack movement, I mean, whatever country you're in, it is something that is happening globally. A number of European countries, they are fracking already. Some have said no. I can't remember which off the top of my head. I think France might have been one that has said no, but then they all their energy comes from nuclear, pretty much. I'll put up some links in the podcast. So,
do you think people will have in their local areas like meetings and Facebook pages for their local areas they can log on to? Go to local meetings with their community about this.
Well, on Facebook, if you go to BIF, which is Britain and Ireland Frack Free, they've got a link to all the groups and pages in the UK. So you can just look down through one of those, and there's probably one in your area. Certainly if you live in an area that has shale underneath it, without a doubt. I mean, you know, lots of counties are fortunate and they don't have it, but even in those counties, their water comes from other places. So it's going to be a difficult one for them. Anyway, I'm just about fracked off with fracking. Just to lighten it a little bit, I found some music which we're going to play for you now. It's a bunch of celebrities, really, who are all against fracking in New York, and they put this piece of music together. I'll put a link in the podcast so that you can go and look at it on YouTube. It is a YouTube, and I hope you enjoy it, and we'll come back after the music break.
Gather round, people, listen to my song about something most of you'd agree is just wrong. There ain't no place left on this earth to discover, so please don't frack my mother.
Don't frack me. Don't frack me.
Don't frack my mother, 'cause I ain't got no other. Don't frack my mother. You can do anything that you wanna do, but don't frack my mother.
Don't frack me. Don't frack me.
Now hold up, kid. Listen if you will. You can't tell a man where to stick his drill. The cow don't know what's good for her udders, so I'm going to frack your mother.
Don't frack me. Don't frack me.
Don't frack my mother, 'cause I ain't got no other.
can't afford for this world to get hotter. And we can't afford polynuclear aromatic hydrocarbons in our water. Teratogens, carcinogens, enough to make you shudder. So please don't frack my mother.
Don't frack me. Don't frack me.
Don't.
Frack my mother.
Don't frack my mother.
Don't frack my mother.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed those music. Today, of course, is the 20th of April.
Yeah, 420.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you write it down like they do in America with the month first, then the day, it is 420. And there's been a lot of resistance with people that smoke cannabis since, right around the globe.
Well, since the 70s, this has been going on, isn't it, 420 day? It's a very old tradition. Some young lads started it in a garage at Beebs. And it's continued to this day, but this year it's got very big, and it's come over here big style. So I went down to Bournemouth Beach today, and there was a 420 celebration of cannabis going on down there. And so I did a little outside broadcast. I think you've got it there, have you, Bob? Hello, Bob?
Yep. No, I haven't at the moment. Just 1 second.
Oh.
You have to call him, Paul. Go on, Bob.
Yeah, we had a good time down. It was beautiful weather. Did some sand sculpturing and handed some leaflets out and got a petition signed to change the to raise a debate in local government about the benefits of that cannabis would have to the UK. Is that far already yet, Bob?
I was going to say, surely sand and rolling doesn't go together very well. The last thing you want is sand in your weed,
yeah.
Which, of course, people have done,
yeah.
You know, to give it extra weight and then go and sell it. And yeah, we've had quite a lot of that sort of thing, haven't we?
Yeah,
really?
Experienced that, yeah.
People spraying it with crack. That was one thing that went on for a while. And we did have a coffee shop here in Bournemouth. I don't know whether you...
Yeah, it's part of
you
the
remember
Dutch experience.
That? It was, yeah. Dutch experience, Bournemouth.
Guy called Jimmy was running that.
He was, yeah. And that was a very worthwhile project. And it was part of the Willy Wirtle Dutch experience thing in, I think it's Rotterdam, is where they are. And they're still going strong. Of course, they've got Weed Pass in Holland now, which, you know, lots of towns are saying they're going to ignore. But
you've got to prove you're a resident to buy cannabis locally.
But it means going on a database as well, you know. So yeah. What's that all about? You know,
very sinister.
Is government just getting more and more people into databases so that they can isolate people, really?
Yeah. I believe Bob's having a bit of trouble playing that file, so we'll bring it to you later.
But if we can't
get you now in the show, we'll bring it in the Dark City show later on.
I'm not actually having
it. It's worth waiting for.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not actually having any issue in playing it. I have to receive it before I can.
That'll probably be my slow computer.
Probably, yeah. That's
my... you.
If you look
I
in your
box, apologise.
It was sent
in a bit of a rush.
We will get there as soon as it arrives. Well, play.
Paul, can you send us some more coal down and we'll get this computer stoked up a bit more?
It's a steampunk model.
Steampunk, yeah.
We have to excuse me, somebody's at my door now.
Cool, well, we'll carry on. You know, what was your day like down there?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a good day. We did a load of chalking on the pavement for passers-by to, you know, get the gist of what we were talking about. Someone brought a big banner. We had some sand sculptures going on. A big cannabis leaf was carved in the sand. And then the council people turned up with their radios and their blue T-shirts and had a little read, and they stomped off. And then we had the police arrive, and they wanted to know who was in charge, and we all said we were, unanimously, everyone saying we are. And he just reminded us all that cannabis was a Class B drug, and just to be careful. And then he went.
The council?
No, the police officer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so they were very good, really. They didn't make a fuss. They just reminded us of the law and then left. And that was it. So that was
that's pretty good of them, isn't it? Really,
it was us with the cameras out and getting ready, getting our heads straight, and we didn't need to. And that actually happened dead on 4:20, just as we all lit up.
Well, you couldn't have arranged it, could you? So have you got video footage from today as well?
I have got video footage as well. Yeah, I'll probably put that on. I'll give that to Bob to put somewhere on the Dark City. I don't know how he'll do that.
Well, you can post it on your YouTube, and we'll put links to your YouTube.
Okay, yeah.
That's the easy way, isn't it? I mean, obviously the podcast will get published tomorrow, but we can add it as a link later on. Yeah, I think that's the favourite way to do it, isn't it? So as soon as you can get them up, we'll get a link under the podcast. Brilliant. That should be. Was it the police officer coming and talking to you as well? Is all that on there?
No, that wasn't on there. No. We didn't feel the need to get the cameras out. He wasn't threatening. We asked if he'd like to be part of a group photograph, which he declined, and then he left. And we were happy with that. I mean, we don't want to antagonise situation anymore than it should be. It was meant to be a day about of joy for marijuana, not a free man on the land experiment.
Well, certainly not confrontational.
No.
Yeah, that goes without saying, doesn't it, really? But, it's a lot of little happenings happened all over, didn't they?
I honestly don't know. I've not kept up with the news today. I've been digging sand today.
Everywhere. I mean, it's not been on mainstream media that I've noticed at all. I mean, I only know about it because of things that have been posted to me. So yeah, it's a really good thing. And fortunately, we were very fortunate with the weather where we are today.
Yeah,
I doubt that that's the same everywhere. But.
And we didn't have a chemtrail in sight today.
No.
It was absolutely perfectly blue sky.
Now, if you were writing a comedy sketch about a government, right, the next thing that we're going to talk about, you would include. In fact, it's so ridiculous, you wouldn't even think that you could get away with the storyline. And this all came out this week. And if you're in the UK, you certainly know about Osborne's austerity programme. If you're not in the UK, you've probably got similar things in your own country that your government's supposedly reducing spending by attacking the least well-off. In this country, George Osborne, I mean, the Tories, this is what they do. You know, they take money away from the least well-off and line the pockets of the well-off. And they've always done that. When Thatcher was around, that's what happened, and it's going on now. But they need an excuse to sell it. You know, we've got to do this because, you know, this country's going to be in big trouble because of all the borrowing. And there was an economist, if you could scroll up the, what was his name? Ken Rogoff. Yeah, hang on. No, you scrolled off. Carmen Reinhart and Ken Rogoff wrote a paper where they made a prediction that any country that had a debt, an external debt of 90% or more of its GDP would go into a period, a long period of growth only being at 0.01%. Okay, so that's 0.01% of growth. When you've got more than 90% of your GDP as debt. Okay, we haven't reached that point in the UK. So Osborne put in all his austerity measures on the basis that we shouldn't get there, and actually has caused no growth as a consequence. And the reality of it is that countries that have gone over the 90% have been achieving an average growth of 2.2%. So they've been achieving growth, even though these economists in their paper stated that they wouldn't. So all the hardship that everyone's going through in the UK for sure is caused by a ridiculous economic paper that has been proven to be unresearched. Huh. So what do you think of that, Ian?
Absolutely unreal, isn't it? You couldn't really script it, could you?
But if you did, it would be a comedy show, wouldn't it? You know, you can just imagine it in Yes, Prime Minister. You know, it's the government being found out that all their thinking about the welfare system was proven to be wrong by something so ridiculously, I don't know, I can't even think of the word for the stupidity of it, really. Just some piece of fiction.
Doesn't it?
It's a piece of fiction, though, isn't
yeah.
it? Totally a piece of fiction. So, let's hope it was something of a shake-up. And not that we will ever stop the Tories. This is what they do. The fact they've been found out won't make the slightest bit of difference to them, I'm certain. Yeah. I mean, you can, when you look at a picture of Osborne and Cameron, you can see it in their eyes. You know, there's no caring, is there?
Empty.
Yeah, empty. That's it. Empty eyes.
Just empty.
So, yeah, maybe they'll end up on the gun carriage. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, the next bit was something else that happened this week, which is a bit scary, and that was the repeal of Part 1, Section 3 of the General Duty of the Equality Act. And that slipped through Parliament round about Thatcher's funeral, conveniently. And all the clauses that prevented prejudice and discrimination and human rights and dignity have all been taken away. And now people's ability to achieve their potential is limited by prejudice and discrimination. There's no respect for and protection of each individual's human rights. There's no respect for the dignity and worth of each individual. And each individual does not have an equal opportunity to participate in society. And there is no mutual respect between groups based on understanding and valuing of diversity, and on sharing respect for equality and human rights. So that's how we stand in the UK now. You know, that it's ridiculous, you know. It's like one step forwards and a half mile leap backwards. You know, I mean, all these rights are hard fought for. You know, they're just being repealed left, right, and centre, so people can be picked on for whatever reason. So I don't know how everyone out there feels about that. I mean, I was shocked that it would even go through Parliament, to be honest. But to have it snuck in around Thatcher's funeral just goes to show the outcry. It'd be interesting to try and get the voting figures on this to see who voted for it, because that should be published soon, shouldn't it, on the government website.
Yeah, it's just reading that there, it's like, if this goes through in layman's terms, it will mean people's ability to achieve their potential is limited by prejudice or discrimination. I mean, how the fuck can any of them reading this, putting this through, can agree on that?
Well, it isn't that that has been put into legislation, it's above, you can read what they've taken out.
But, yeah,
which makes
which
that
happen.
That's the consequence of them taking it out.
Do these people not realise that?
Yeah, the bit should be that people's ability to achieve their potential is not limited by prejudice and discrimination.
Which causes... yeah, there's no respect and protection for each individual's human rights.
No, so, I mean, what does that mean to the European human rights legislation? Does that not apply to us anymore?
Excuse me, gentlemen, you have a caller on the line.
Oh, hello, caller.
Hello, Bob, you all right?
Oh, hello, Boris, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad. I was just listening to your show about fracking, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I stick in my computer, East Sussex fracking, and found a document that's been messed about with by the council. Thought it might be interested in it.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to delete the words. This is what they want to delete, okay? East Sussex County Council notes that there is insufficient scrutiny of current hydraulic fracturing or fracking operations in the UK. And as a consequence, these operations risk irreversibly polluting fragile water resources and established nature and tourism resources. East Sussex County Council notes that fracking potentially has other undesirable impacts on rural areas, including significant HGV movements and risk of seismic events. East Sussex County Council acknowledges that exploration of unconventional fossil fuel may undermine the economic rationale for investing in a clean energy future. So they want to take them words out of a document, yeah, and replace them with East Sussex County Council acknowledges that there are significant public concerns over the process of hydraulic fracking. That's
wow.
It.
have you got the original there with all the words in?
I have, yeah. Yeah, I've got it both, yeah, because they've just scribbled the words out. It's from March last year.
Right, have you downloaded that?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Oh, cool. So we can keep the original and then download when they've made the adjustment?
Yeah, that's just one adjustment in this. There's adjustments all the way through it. I'll send it in to you anyway so you can have a look.
Well, that'd be great. I mean, maybe we can put links up as well.
Yeah, no problem. I wondered if it's worth other people checking in their council, just going onto the council website and putting in fracking and see what comes up.
I think it'd be worth everyone doing that.
Yeah.
Whatever country they're in.
Yeah, don't it? Okay, you know, it shocked me a little bit. Well, it didn't shock me at all, to be honest, again. But, yeah, I thought you'd like to know that anyway, Bob.
Yeah, nice one. Thanks, Boris. That was, thanks for bringing that in. That was... yeah, useful that we can get people to keep an eye on it now as well, because if all councils are doing that, you know, that's ridiculous to rephrase a public document in favour of a corporation, which is what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah, totally.
By just calling it public concern and taking away the reality of the damage.
Yeah, not mentioning earthquakes and things.
Yeah, you know, polluted water and huge amounts of transport and, you know, all the things we were talking about earlier on, really.
Yeah, that's why I thought I'd let you know about it. But like I say, it must be going on everywhere. They're mentioning Lancashire in this document as well. That's what they're all looking on, that Quadrilla had to stop drilling in Lancashire.
Yeah, well, there's, I think we were looking earlier, and there's a massive shale bed that runs diagonally across the, from the northeast to west of the Midlands, sort of, and there's about 17 licenses have been issued for all of that.
Right, yeah. Also, there's a, believe it or not, there's an earthquake meter you can look at on the internet. It shows where all the earthquakes have been in the last year.
If I can just chip it off.
Yeah, yeah, we've got somebody else in the room with us, Gary. He's got something to say about fracking in Somerset. So.
Okay, Bob.
I think their council were at, I think Somerset Council, some people went and to their town hall and asked them if they were going to kind of endorse or oppose fracking. And I believe that they came back and said that they wouldn't consider it in their county, in their borough. And the idea of asking local councils individually, are they for or against it, definitely is, I agree, should be put forward a lot, yeah.
I thought they'd issue licences to frack in the Mendips, which is in Somerset, isn't it?
I'm sure there's loads of reasons why they decided to sort of say that they were opposed to it. And every council on the spot, every council should be asked that question before it even gets to the stage where they're being asked to consider licences. Each council should make a public statement.
Well, this is what Boris found on his East Sussex Council's website, and they, you know, want to change the document, you know, to take out the dangers and just say it's only a public concern, so it doesn't mean anything.
And the council issue thousands of documents every day, so keeping tabs on what they're up to. Yeah.
I mean,
it's
you,
all out there on their
and
websites.
You know better than most, because you're one of the few people that follow through on our local council, aren't you? And yeah.
Nice one, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, thanks for chipping that in. That's a good one. Well, I guess we're coming to the end of this week's show now. Have you got anything more you want to say, Chris or Boris?
No, I'm all right, mate.
No, that's it, Bob. Yeah, I was only just listening in.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks to all of you and Gary for coming on the show. We hope you all have a good week, and we'll be looking for positive solutions for some of the news next week as well. So have a good week, people.
Yeah, happy 420 day.
See you later, Bob.